Susan Bordeaux is a longtime cultural critic and feminist scholar, and it's good to have you with us today. Hi, Susan.
Hi, it's great to be here, Jim.
Well, this is, I guess the title starts at the destruction of Hillary Clinton. You believe that the person that was portrayed on the campaign trail was far different from the real individual. Why?
Well, I should say, first of all, I don't know the real individual. I've never met Hillary Clinton. So this is very much an attempt to put together the pieces of the campaign and her career as they appear to a person who certainly was paying a lot more attention than the average person could afford to pay, but who, you know, is a listener, a reader, a citizen like any other. So I don't claim to know the real Hillary Clinton, but I do know the career of Hillary Clinton and her accomplishments and her experience. And I've heard all of her speeches, and I watched the various hearings from morning to night. I'm in a kind of privileged position because I'm a teacher and a writer, and, you know, unlike most people who go off to work at 9 and come back at 5, I could really pay very close attention. So I think I got a more complete picture of who she is as a public servant and what she's done and what she said and what her policies are and the ways in which they were misrepresented than most people could possibly get because of, you know, the fact that it wasn't part of their jobs to pay close attention.
Well, you and I both live in the South, and you're affiliated with a university in the Southeastern Conference, and the SEC states went 11-0 for Donald Trump. That's where he got a half of his electoral votes.
Yeah.
And so in Kentucky, for example, like Louisiana, it went twice for Bill Clinton, and Hillary Clinton got 33% in Kentucky, 38% in Louisiana. She lost by 375,000 votes in your state. So is it partly a regional phenomenon in the way that the public viewed her?
Well, yeah, certainly that figures in. Of course, you know, Obama lost in Kentucky, too. So I think that Bill was a kind of unusual case in that people in the South perceived him as another Southerner, which he was. You know, he shared much of the culture of the South, and he, you know, even in terms of the food that he liked and the way he talked and his cultural references, I think people connected with him. But I think, too, that with Hillary, there was a particular caricature of her that cast her along with a certain kind of Northeastern elite that made her particularly distasteful to people in the South. I think that any Democrat would have lost Kentucky. I can't speak for Louisiana
I don't think there was a Democrat who could carry Louisiana either, not this
time. Yeah. Yeah, so I think that, you know, when we're talking about our states, we're talking about what was probably a losing battle to begin with. But I do think she had a particularly hard row to hoe, so to speak, because of the perception that was created that she was out of touch, you know, and, you know, part of this establishment, disconnected elite. You know, in fact, Hillary is a middle-class kid, you know, who grew up in the Midwest. And there was nothing particularly elitist about her. But over the years, you know, years of being harassed by the press, years of fighting the good fight, you know, she had learned to be pretty cautious with her words. And it lacked, you know, the spontaneity, for instance, that her husband always had. You know, so I think she particularly didn't play very well down here, you know, even though no Democrat would have.
And she lost to Donald Trump, a man that, of course, is extremely flawed, as we know, as most humans are, but his flaws are certainly evident, and yet he was able to overcome them and missteps along on the campaign trail that would have undermined others. How was he able to beat her?
Well, it's extraordinary, and I think that, you know, the reason why I wrote a whole book was because I think it's very complicated, and there's no one answer. But one of the interesting things about Donald Trump, to step away from Hillary for just a minute, is the perception, I believe, and this is something that hasn't really been pointed out very much, when people voted for him, an awful lot of his followers were really voting for the person they had seen on Celebrity Apprentice, not the person at the rallies who was shouting, hate-mongering, you know, and calling out, you know, horrible racist and homophobic slogans. What they had him kind of embedded in their minds, and I'm a great reality TV watcher. I'm addicted. So, you know, I was familiar with the Donald Trump of The Apprentice and The Celebrity Apprentice. And that image of the sort of strong, reasonable, rational manager, I think a lot of people, you know, these beautiful children at his side, I think a lot of people, that image was never really dislodged. And then, too, you know, he had this thing about political correctness. And one of the things that really ran through this campaign was anytime anyone raised any issues involving sexism or racism, they were always accused of being politically correct. And that was a real, this was a feature of this campaign that you didn't see very prominently, for instance, in 2012. So I think that, you know, that part of his campaign captured people's attention, too. The fact, the idea that he was a straight shooter, you know, he didn't try to say what people expected. He spoke from the hip. That was a kind of winning idea. But Hillary herself faced this massive anti-public relations campaign. I mean, just as Donald carried with him, despite all of his massive flaws, an image that I think a lot of people enjoyed, the image of Hillary that was created, was something that people found very unappealing. And it was something that was coming at her from so many different sides. It was very difficult for her to grab a hold of things and to turn it around. She had to deal with the Bernie phenomenon. She had to deal with the Trump phenomenon. She had to deal with the Comey phenomenon. She had to deal with the leaks from Russia. It was the media who would seize on the mere appearance of a possible scandal. You know, you remember when she had pneumonia?
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of extraordinary. You know, she has pneumonia. My husband's had pneumonia. People on her campaign trail had pneumonia. I mean, they walked through it.
Well, let's hold that thought for a moment.
Sure.
You have written prolifically about body image and women, and Hillary Clinton was ridiculed by her opponent, and they're approximately the same age, and Donald Trump is certainly not the vibrant man he once was, but it seems that she may have been judged in a way that he was not.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt about the fact that we have a huge, ferocious double standard when it comes to the judging, not just of appearance, but also of personality, when it comes to men and women. You know, Hillary's every new hair, ever since she was first lady her of Arkansas, her every change in hairstyle and whether she wore makeup or not, and whether she showed a little cleavage, commented on. She was derided for having heavy calves. You know, it's kind of extraordinary that a thing like that would be made such a big deal of. Donald Trump, you know, with his crazy hairdo, and Bernie Sanders, you know, a grandfather, they got away with a huge amount. You know, people joked about Donald Trump's hair, but there's a certain amount of affection in it, whereas Hillary's was always, you know, nasty. The comments were nasty.
And shortly before the election, the bombshell from the FBI director was certainly a detriment to Hillary Clinton's campaign. Susan Bordeaux, do you believe it cost her the election?
I do. I think she had to contend with an awful lot. But part of what happened when Comey made that announcement was that some of what she had had to fight against in terms of the narrative was revived for people. And it was revived for people at a very timely moment for Trump. Because if you'll remember, that was just when the Access Hollywood tapes broke and women were coming forward accusing him of sexual assault. And many Republicans were jumping ship on him. His numbers were plummeting. And then James Comey came out with that announcement. And suddenly, the email scandal that had dominated the news about Hillary Clinton for most of the election was front and center again. And we forgot about what was going on with Trump. I just saw a chart yesterday that I hadn't seen before showing the approval, Trump's approval ratings, and the way in which they climbed right after the Comey announcement. Really quite extraordinary. So I think that she would have Monday morning quarterbacking, but she would have won perhaps with a slender electoral lead, but I think she would have.
John in New Roads makes reference to a bruising primary campaign that Hillary Clinton had with Bernie Sanders, one she did not anticipate, at least the closeness of it. How much did that take out of her her campaign against Donald Trump?
I think it was pretty significant because it divided the Democratic support mostly by generation. She never lost her African-American support. I mean, that was, you know, overwhelming, especially among older African-Americans. But Bernie grabbed onto the imaginations of younger people and split the younger people's vote. In fact, dominated the younger people's vote so that she never really regained that because I believe, you know, people may think I'm blaming Bernie here. He never came out for her with the same kind of enthusiasm that she came out for Barack Obama after he won the nomination. You know, I don't fault Bernie for fighting the good fight, but at a certain point, he needed to address the more extreme among his supporters. You know, there were people who were saying who were shouting things that were as sexist and nasty as the things coming from the Trump campaign from Bernie supporters. He had the influence to say to them, hey, wait a minute. You know, the way John McCain did with the Islamophile in his audience, wait a minute. You know, I disagree with her on a number of issues, but she's not the devil. She's not a witch. Mm-hmm. Let's not go there. She's an extremely experienced and capable person, and we need to really get behind her. He never quite made it to that degree of support, and I think that played a crucial role.
Now, here's another inquiry about the Russian influence. In recent reports, Professor Bordeaux, have indicated that President Obama had access to information that the Russians were tinkering with the election in hopes of defeating Hillary Clinton. Why did the president not go there?
Yeah, this is a great question because it's something that has vexed me. I think the reason why he didn't do it, and I think that this did affect the way she was perceived, is that he never wanted to seem too partisan. And so he kept a lot of what he knew close to his vest. And unfortunately, the FBI kept it close to their vest, too. You know, the same month that Comey in July was talking about her carelessness with her emails, they were investigating the Russian connection, and yet he said nothing about it. I wish that Obama, I don't want to second-guess Obama, but I wish that he had been less cautious about seeming partisan and had come out with that information.
What's her next act?
Well, you know, for her sake, I certainly hope she doesn't run for office. I think that she's paid enough. She's shed enough blood. And, you know, she's got so many talents. I think she could contribute in all kinds of ways. I don't know what she's going to do. I know she's been putting together a book of memoirs, which would be very interesting to read. She's got roles to play. Just what they are isn't clear. I mean, this is someone who's been a public servant all her life. You know, she'll find something to do that will work to our benefit, I'm sure.
Here's another question for the professor, Professor Bordeaux, from the University of Kentucky, by the way, where she is the chair in humanities and professor of gender and women's studies. How significant would the election of a female candidate have been?
Well, it would have been quite fantastic. You know, one of the things that's kind of, you know, it's both depressing and frustrating is how African Americans were able to celebrate, finally, the election of an African American to the presidency. They were able to celebrate that, whereas women were always made to feel that if they showed any enthusiasm over the idea of a female candidate, that all they cared about was her gender, you know, which was never the case. She was an immensely qualified candidate. And on top of that, she was a woman. And that would have made it really tremendously exciting and inspiring for our daughters. I mean, I have an 18-year-old daughter. I would love to see her, you know, vote in the next election for a female candidate who deserved it, which Hillary did. And but we were made to feel very bad about wanting a female candidate, made to feel as though, you know, we were just, it was only because we were playing the woman card, you know, that idea. So all we cared about was the fact that she was a woman, which was far from the truth.
Well, when we look at her legacy, she was a Secretary of State, and for most of that tenure, recognized as an exemplary one. She was the First Lady of the great state of Arkansas for 12 years and of the United States for 8 years, a U.S. Senator. What kind of legacy does she leave?
I am hoping that despite the fact that right now the Democrats are falling all over themselves, blaming her and her campaign, that history is going to write this very differently. And we'll see the way in which she broke, you know, hugely important ground for whatever is to come in the next few years. I think that Trump, I hope, is a blip, because what we've seen right after the inauguration is this tremendous upwelling of, you know, suddenly everything that people forgot about during the election, we were remembering, oh my God, you can lose your human rights, you know, if this man signs them away. And I think we'll remember that Hillary was always the fiercest advocate for women's rights, for children's rights, for reproductive rights, that she traveled all over the world and changed the image of the United States. She's going to be written about in a different way, ultimately, in the history books than she's now being talked about in the press.
Do you think she'll run again, or is that out
no,
of the question?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'm not, you know, I have no insider knowledge, but I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that, you know, it would be masochistic to run again. I think that, you know, she ought to enjoy herself. We even see her, you know, now when she appears, she seems so much more relaxed. Got a leather jacket on. You know, she should have a little fun with her life.
Well, thank you for joining us today, Professor Susan Bordeaux of the University of Kentucky, Pulitzer Prize nominee. The book is The Destruction of Hillary Clinton. It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure for me too, Jim. Thanks. Thank you.